The Beauty of Sacrifice, Moving Beyond Substitution to Union in Christ, by Steve Martin and Clyde L. Pilkington, Jr. For centuries, mainstream Christian theology has taught that Christ's death on the cross was a substitutionary sacrifice, that he took our place, suffered the punishment meant for us, and appeased an angry God. But what if that's not the full story? What if the cross wasn't about substitution at all, but about union? God entering into our experience so that we could enter into His. Sacrifice versus substitution, a crucial distinction. To grasp the depth of Christ's work, we must first differentiate between sacrifice and substitution. These terms are often used interchangeably, but they carry vastly different meanings. Substitution implies a transactional replacement. The idea is that Christ was punished in our place so that we wouldn't have to be. This perspective suggests that God required satisfaction for sin, payment in blood, and Jesus stepped in as our substitute to endure divine wrath. Sacrifice, on the other hand, is something entirely different. Sacrifice is not about punishment, but about giving, offering something of great value for something even greater. Parents sacrifice for their children, spouses for each other, soldiers for their countries. In each case, it is not about taking someone's place in suffering, but about willingly giving of oneself out of love. This distinction is vital because the idea of substitution distorts the character of God. It portrays Him as a wrathful judge needing appeasement, rather than as a loving Father who gives of Himself for the sake of His children. The approach present, sacrifice by another name. In the Scriptures, the concept of sacrifice is referred to in the Concordant Version as an approach present, a phrase that carries deep meaning. The word korban in Hebrew, karban, korban, is commonly translated as offering and means to draw near or to bring close, and is defined by E.W. Bullinger as an admittance offering. The idea is not one of punishment or appeasement, but rather of offering a valuable gift in order to approach God. An approach present is, in essence, a sacrifice given as a gift. It is not about satisfying wrath, but about establishing closeness. Just as a person might bring a meaningful gift to a loved one to express devotion, the sacrifices in the Old Testament were acts of offering something valuable as a means of approaching and communing with God. But now everything has been turned around. The direction of the approach present has changed. It is no longer humanity offering gifts to draw near to God. Instead, it is God who is presenting the approach present to us. He is the one who made the sacrifice, giving up something of infinite value, not to satisfy His own wrath, but to bring us near to Himself. The greatest approach present of all is Jesus Christ Himself. In Christ, God is not demanding an offering. He gave the offering. The sacrifice is no longer about human beings trying to gain access to God through ritualistic offerings. It is about God having given us His Son so that He can bring us into full union with Him. Then what is the ultimate gift wrapped in this approach present? Immortality. Through Christ, God is offering us life beyond the reach of death. This is not a payment for sin, but a gift of love, freely given. Paul speaks of this in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice that it is a free gift, not an appeasement, not a penalty paid, but an approach present, the very nature of sacrifice turned on its head. In Christ, God has made the final sacrifice, not by demanding blood, but by giving life. Thus, the old concept of sacrifice as something we do to approach God is now completely reversed. God is the giver. God is the sacrificer. God is the one drawing us near through His own approach present, Jesus and the gift of immortality. This is not a transaction. It is a relationship. It is a gift. And it is beautiful. The Old Testament sacrificial system, a shadow of the true sacrifice. Many struggle with how the Old Testament sacrificial system relates to Christ's work on the cross. If sacrifices involve bloodshed, doesn't that imply substitution? The answer lies in what those offerings were truly about. Sacrifice was never about punishment. In the Old Testament, sacrifices were not about transferring guilt onto an innocent victim, but about offering something valuable as an approach present to God. Consider how the system worked. If a person could afford it, they might offer a bull, a costly and valuable gift. If they were poor, they could bring a lamb or goat. If they had even fewer resources, they could bring two pigeons or turtle doves. If they had nothing, they could offer a small portion of flour. Leviticus 5:11. Notice that blood was not always required. A grain offering was just as acceptable as a bull. This proves that the focus was never on blood, but on giving something valuable in devotion to God. Furthermore, after an animal was sacrificed, it was often eaten. The sacrifice was not about senseless slaughter, it was about sustaining life. The people were already sacrificing animals for food, and God took this natural process and infused it with deeper meaning. Even God Himself makes this clear in Scripture. "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." Hosea 6:6. "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings." Psalm 51:16. "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me." Hebrews 10:5. If God never desired sacrifices in the first place, then the entire system was not about appeasement, but a teaching tool leading to something greater. Union, not substitution. What really happened at the cross? When Christ came, He did not step in as a substitute to take our punishment. He stepped into our experience to unite us with Himself. Just as we were in Adam, united with Him in His fall, we are in Christ, united with Him in His death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 6:3-5. The work of Calvary was not a legal exchange, but a relational reality. Rather than Jesus standing in our place as a representative, He brought us into His own experience. He did not suffer instead of us. He suffered with us. He did not die to satisfy divine wrath. He died to overcome death itself. The key concept here is union. Adam was not our substitute. We were in Him. The entire human race came out of Him, which is why we inherited His mortality. Likewise, Christ is not our substitute. We are in Him. Just as we were joined with Adam in death, we are joined with Christ in life. Paul writes, "For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like His." Romans 6, verse 5. Christ did not bear the Father's wrath on our behalf. Instead, He entered into the full human experience of darkness, suffering, alienation, and death, so that we could share in His resurrection life. The ultimate gift, immortality. The true gift of Christ's sacrifice is not a legal pardon, but something far greater, immortality. Jesus is the only one who has achieved immortality. 1 Timothy 6:16. His resurrection was the first time death had ever been completely defeated. Through our union with Him, we will follow Him into that same immortality. 1 Corinthians 15:22-23. Everything in the Old Testament pointed to this reality. The sacrificial system, the offerings, and even the shedding of blood were shadows of the greater truth. Life comes through death, but not substitutionary death. Rather, the giving of life leads to more life. Sacrifice is a beautiful word. The word sacrifice has been tainted by notions of punishment and wrath, but in reality, sacrifice is a word of love. We sacrifice for our families, not because they are guilty and need appeasement, but because we love them. We give up time, energy, and resources, not as a punishment, but as an expression of devotion. True sacrifice creates value, enhances relationships, and reflects the very heart of God. God, as the ultimate giver, delights in sacrifice because it is an expression of love. He gave His Son, not as a wrath bearer, but as the embodiment of His love. A love so great that He entered into our death so we could enter into His life. The grand conclusion, a beautiful story, not a blood transaction. What happened at Calvary was not substitution. It was an envelopment into union. Jesus was not a replacement for us. He was bringing us with Him into life. One day we will join Him fully in that life. We will wake up in His immortality as He shakes us and says, "Good morning. Welcome to immortal life."